Well, nice to see you here today. I have several members who are out traveling about, but some of us stayed home, and here we are. I'm glad to see you. Thank you for being here again. There was an announcement that we need to make about Carl Klug. He's going to have some surgery. And there was an email he sent, and I tried to send it out to everybody. Lisa ordinarily takes care of that, and she's not here. And I didn't have the whole mailing list all together in one thing, so I failed you in sending out that email. So I'll try to get that done. But I'll give you the gist of the message. Carl has a condition that causes him to tremor. It's not Parkinson's, but it's kind of like Parkinson's in the effect that it has on his ability to control. And so he's going to have what's called minor brain surgery, which doesn't sound minor at all, but it's going to be in two parts. And the first part is going to be on May the 24th. So he's requesting that we pray for him, of course, and we will be doing that. It's marvelous and amazing that there are things that we can do to treat ailments in this life. And when that can be done, we are thankful for it, and we pray for his recovery and successful surgery. So please keep that in mind. We need each other. We depend on each other. We rely on each other as Christians in the Lord's church to encourage each other, to hold each other up when things are tough. And that's part of what the church exists for, to get us through this life and on to the next life with our salvation intact. And part of the thing that we struggle with to get through this life are just all the various challenges that we face, the physical ailments that we face. And we need to encourage and support each other as best we can so we can get past this place where these kinds of ailments affect us. I started last week to talk about the Lord's church and specifically the autonomy of the local church, how each congregation of the Lord's church is kind of responsible for its own affairs. We answer to the Lord. And this congregation does that as well. We answer to the Lord. Doesn't mean we can do whatever we want. It means we answer to the Lord. We don't answer to anybody here in this world except the Lord. And we need to be doing the Lord's work in this area, in this community, in this place, because that's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to answer to Him for doing the things that He wants His church to be doing right here. And that's an important concept. In keeping with that, and this is part of what the elders have asked me to talk about, well, I want to talk about the roles that we all play in the local church, the things that we are supposed to be taking care of as we answer to the Lord for His church in this place. And I want to start with reminding you that it is His church. This is not our church, it's His church. It bears His name, and it bears His name for a reason. We don't just put the Church of Christ out there as just some kind of formality. It is intended as a communication of a concept. And the concept is it's His church. And therefore, it should be ordered and its affairs conducted in a way that is pleasing to Him, not us. You know, we often talk about what we would like to see the church do, or I wish the church would do this, or why does the church do this? Well, in the end, what we need to be asking ourselves is, what does the Lord think about our congregation? What does He want to see us doing and not doing? That's what we need to be asking ourselves. We talked about last week about the fact that this concept of the local church is a biblical concept. It's not something that we've invented. The reason why this congregation exists is the same reason these other ones existed in the New Testament, the church in Jerusalem and Corinth And in Galatia and in Rome and all of the various congregations that we read about in the New Testament, those congregations, those local congregations, were assemblies of Christians who got together to do the Lord's work in those areas. And that's what local churches do. They assemble, which is what we're doing here today. We assemble and we worship and we work together and we look out for each other because, like I said at the beginning of my lesson today, that's what we're here for. We're here to look out for each other, help each other, encourage each other, teach each other. That's our job in the church. But in doing that, there are various roles, functions. You can call them offices, you can call them responsibilities that some of us have to assume. We have to step up and take on these functions or responsibilities for the church to do what it's supposed to do. We'll talk about that for a few moments this morning. And to do that, we're going to look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Just before this, Paul talks about how Christ, in ascending into heaven, gave gifts to men. It's really he uses the analogy, really, of a triumph, a Roman triumph. The general would lead on a parade through the city of Rome the prisoners that he took and the notable prisoners that he took and some great victory that he won. And he would also give gifts. He would bring wagons and wagons of treasure for Rome. Well, Christ has triumphed in winning the victory for us. In dying on the cross and being raised from the dead and winning our salvation. And in doing so, he has dispensed gifts. And here in verses 11 and 12, Paul talks about what these gifts are. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers and for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. We see that the gifts that Christ gives to his church are these individuals, are these functions. They're for us. They're for all of us in the Lord's church. And they're wonderful gifts. And we should appreciate them. And we should use them. Now, the first couple that he mentions here, the apostles, he's appointed various roles for us to fill in the church. I guess I should follow my PowerPoint. I made it. I might as well follow it. They are offices or functions. They are essential to the health and growth of the church. The first ones that he mentions are the apostles and prophets. And somebody might say, well, we don't have apostles and prophets today. Really? Well, that's not true. When did Christ take them back? They're dead. They're gone. Well, they may not be in this world, but they're not gone. They may be dead, but they still function. How so? Well, they function in the way the Lord intended, by continuing to reveal the truth that He wants the church to know. Well, how do they do that? Well, they do that through the things that they wrote. And we read in places like 2 Peter 3, where the apostle Peter and the prophet Peter writes and says, "Beloved, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." Well, the great thing about a written letter is it survives the death of the person who wrote it, and it continues to go on. In his capacity as an apostle, Peter wrote letters. He wrote letters to Christians, to churches. And he says, look, I'm not there, and I'm not going to be here for very much longer, he says in his second epistle. He says, I'm going to be killed. But I want you to be able to remember what I taught you while I was here, and so I write these letters to you so that you can call to mind the things that I have taught you. And he goes on to say in verse 2, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. The writings of the apostles and the prophets of the New Testament, they are writings that continue to remind us and help us to call to mind the things the Lord wants us to know in the church. And we continue to depend upon them and rely upon them. And to that extent, the work of the apostles and prophets goes on. They continue to remind us. They continue to teach us. They continue to guide us by the inspired word of the Holy Spirit that they received and they revealed and they wrote. There are apostles. There are prophets. They teach us. And we should appreciate the gift that Christ has given us in the church. And use the gift. You know, it's so sad when you give someone a gift and they don't use it. You know, it's neither here nor there, I suppose. But if it was one they really needed, let's say you gave someone who was hobbled and had difficulty walking, and you gave them a cane or a walker, and you come in to see them, and they're trying to get around without the walker, and they're falling down, and they're hurting themselves, and you're saying, why don't you use the walker that I gave you? That would be so much better for you, and that would be frustrating, wouldn't it? Well, the Lord has given us apostles and prophets, and we have access to their teaching all of the time, every day, in the church especially. And that's why we have Bible classes, and that's why we have sermons, to remind us of the teaching of the apostles and prophets. That is the Lord's gift to us. Why would we not use that gift? Why wouldn't we not continue to depend upon it and rely upon it and to receive the benefit and blessing of that gift? To that end, there's another gift that the Lord has given us. And in this case, the gift is still here and still alive. And it's the evangelists. In the church, we have evangelists. We call them ministers. Sometimes we call them preachers, all of which are biblical terms. But these fellows, these evangelists, they are people who do what Paul told Timothy the evangelist to do in 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 5. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. He goes on to say, but you be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist to fulfill your ministry. Now, this is an important function. Has to be done by somebody. Somebody has to continue to preach and teach the word. And that's what an evangelist is supposed to do. He's supposed to preach the word. Take the word revealed by the apostles and prophets, read it, explain it, proclaim it, exhort from it, get people in the church to understand it, and to encourage them to practice it. That's what an evangelist is supposed to do. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. All of these things, of course, have to do specifically with the relationship between the evangelist and the church. It is the church that we reprove and rebuke and exhort. You're already saved. You need to stay that way. You need to grow as a Christian. You need to develop your understanding of the Word of God and continue to develop. Continue to grow. Continue to increase your understanding. Now, you can do that to a certain degree on your own. You can read your Bible, you can study your Bible, and you can learn from your Bible. And you should be doing that. We should all be doing that. But here is some help. Here is a gift. And the gift is a preacher. And the preacher, he gets up and he maybe points some things out to you you weren't seeing. And maybe he encourages you to do some things that you weren't doing. And he helps you to do better in applying the Scriptures to your life. That's what an evangelist is supposed to do, with great patience and instruction. And I got to tell you, it takes some patience sometimes. And I hope that you appreciate the fact that I show some patience. I appreciate that you're patient with me. You're patient with me because you have to listen to me week in and week out. And maybe sometimes my sermon's a little dry, a little boring. But that's okay, because that's part of it. Part of it is listening to things. You think, well, I've heard this before. Oh, I already know this. Well, you know, we need to be reminded. What did Peter say? That you can call these things to mind, to be reminded. Yeah, that's part of it. The reason you already know it is because somebody taught it to you and you learned it and you were reminded of it again and again and again until you finally became something that was just kind of, yeah, I know that. Well, good. Good for you. Maybe some of the people here haven't gone quite that far in hearing that particular thing that the preacher's talking about that day. And they do need to hear it because they don't understand it yet. And maybe you need to be reminded of it. And that's why I'm patient. I'm patient, and you need to be patient because this is part of the process. Do the work of an evangelist. An evangelist means preach the good news, and that's what an evangelist does. An evangelist is a preacher, a minister. He preaches the Word of God, teach and convert the lost, admonish the saved, be an example of godliness. But I'm not a leader. Sometimes we say that. The leader's and the preacher's the leader. Well, in a way, I'm a leader. I lead the Bible class. I instruct. But it's not my role or function to tell the church what to do. Now, wait a second. You tell me what to do every Sunday. Well, I tell you what the Word of God says. That's my job, to tell you what the Word of God says. But when it comes to telling you and saying, you do this, you do that, and deciding what the church is supposed to do, and what kind of programs or what kind of decisions the church is going to make, that's not my function. That's the function of the elders. We'll talk about them next. And this is something a lot of people don't understand in the denominational world. They think of the preacher as the pastor, and the pastor is the shepherd, and the shepherd shepherds the church. Well, that's not the way it works in the New Testament. We need to understand that. I don't make decisions for this church. And I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to teach the Word of God because that's my role. And in that capacity, I am God's gift to you. it may be a Walmart gift. it may be a Bucky's gift. I don't know. Maybe it's a little better. Maybe it's a Target gift. Or maybe, I don't know. You determine what kind of a gift it is. But let me encourage you to make use of the gift. I mean, I know I don't preach the best sermons in the world, but I guarantee you they're better than the ones that you hear if you stay at home. They got to be better than that because nothing, I've got to be better than nothing. I've got to be better than nothing. And if I'm not better than nothing, then you should get rid of me. But if I'm better than nothing, make use of the gift. Then there are some pastors. Now there's the pastors. Now what's the difference between the evangelist and the pastor? Some are evangelists, some are pastors. I thought pastors were evangelists. I thought pastors were preachers. No, they're not. They're different. And in this case, a pastor, the word pastor means shepherd. That's what the word pastor actually means. Shepherd. Poimenes. Shepherd is the word that's used here. It's translated pastor. It could just as easily be translated shepherd. And in some translations, that's exactly why it's translated shepherd, because that's what it is. And so, we've got this whole modern world that has this concept of what a pastor is wrong because of a basic failure to define the word and understand what it is and who it's talking about. In Acts chapter 20, Paul calls the elders of the church in Ephesus to him, and he sends for the elders, and the elders come to him, and he says to them when they get there in Acts 20 and verse 28, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his blood." Now this is what the pastors, shepherds, elders, overseers are supposed to do, to shepherd the flock. And shepherds do lots of things, of course, for a flock. They make sure the flock is well fed and well watered. They guard the flock. They watch the flock, keep enemies and predators from preying upon the flock. When a sheep is lost, they go out and get the sheep and bring it back. These are the things that a shepherd will do. And if a sheep is ill, he'll tend to that sheep and try to bring it back to health. Spiritually, these are all the things that elders are supposed to do. They're supposed to shepherd the church. This is A congregation has elders, and that's their role, that's their function. And poimeno, the Greek word here, is the same. It's the verbal form of the noun used in Ephesians 4. It means to shepherd. That's the word. 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you. This is your role. This is your job as an elder. This is a functionary. And it's God's gift. It's God's gift to the church. Elders are older men. That's why the word is used. Elder means elder. It means older. Older men who meet certain qualifications Paul gives in Titus and Timothy. They're appointed by consent of the church. They lead the church by God's word. They make sure members are taught. They guard against false teachers. And they rescue wayward members to the best of their ability. They can't force anybody to be faithful, but they can try to persuade. And that's their role. That's their function. And we have elders here. And they do this. This is what they do. And we should make use of it. If you need something, if you need to talk with someone, if you need some guidance, you should talk to anyone. You can talk to me. You can talk to any Christian and seek encouragement and guidance and counseling and so forth. Talk to the elders. It's their job. Now, we often think of these functionaries or roles in the church as having status, of being a preacher or being an elder and having terms of reverence or respect for them because they're more important or they have a higher status or they have an office. The reality is it's just service. It's really all it is. We are servants. Even the elders are servants, and they serve the Lord and they serve us as gifts from the Lord in the capacity of being leaders, shepherds. It's what they do. We should respect them, appreciate them, follow their lead, make use of them. It's what they're for. Philippians 1 and 2 talks also about the elders of the church in Philippi. Notice it says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants. Even Paul and Timothy were servants. They were slaves. Even the apostles are slaves. They're servants of the Lord. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons. Now, the deacons are another office in the church. And the deacons are literally servants. I've said all of these offices are servants, and that's literally what deacon means. Diakonoi is servants. That's what they are. Well, what do servants do? Well, they do whatever you need them to do. They take care of the things that need to be taken care of. And typically, since the elders are seen or are taught in the New Testament as being spiritual leaders in the church, the servants, the deacons, take care of things that are of a more everyday necessity. Things that have to do with taking care of the physical affairs of the congregation. In Acts chapter 6, it was about feeding the poor widows and making sure that the arrangements were made so that the collected monies was appropriately distributed so that the widows in need were taken care of in the congregation in Jerusalem. In this congregation, we have several deacons, and they take care of anything from the physical maintenance of this building to the teaching program to taking care of making sure the services are conducted and arranged properly, and the website, and all of the things that we do as a congregation that take somebody doing stuff. Deacons take care of that, and we're thankful that we have deacons that take care of that. They're appointed to take care of certain responsibilities, and they take care of these responsibilities in the service of the church. And we should be thankful to them, and we should encourage them, and we should appreciate what they do. Then there's teachers. Teachers is anybody who teach. It's not a complicated concept. They teach God's Word. They may be men or women. Now, women don't teach in the assembly of a congregation because we're told not to do that. But that doesn't mean women don't teach. They teach Bible classes with children in the back, but they also teach in other situations, in other circumstances. It's not wrong for a woman to teach a man, just not in the assembly. And in my life, I've learned a lot of stuff in the church from a lot of really good women, and I appreciate that because we need teachers. We need people who learn and gain wisdom and knowledge from the Word of God and what it means to live a spiritual and good life. And we need to listen to those people when we give them an opportunity to teach. The ladies are having a Bible class on a weekly basis, and that is going really well. And if you want to participate in that, why don't you talk to some of the women and jump in on that? Because we need teachers, and we need to appreciate the gift of teachers. The Lord gave us that. Let's take advantage of it. And, I teach a class. I don't know if you knew that. I teach a couple of classes here on Sunday morning, on a Wednesday night. And in that capacity, I'm more than willing to be of service to you and continue to be of service to you. So all of these functions, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, what are they really supposed to do? Well, they're supposed to enable or equip the saints. Equip the saints. Well, who are the saints? Well, it's all of us. We're all saints. We're all Christians. And we're all part and members of this local congregation. But when you think about the language of equipping, why do you need to equip somebody? Why would you equip a firefighter? Why would you equip a soldier? Why would you equip a mechanic? Well, you equip someone so that they can go do something. And that's exactly what Paul goes on to say, for the work of service. All of these functionaries, their role is to equip the saints so that the saints can work. Well, that tells me that there's one more office or functionary or responsibility of the church, and it's one that we all have as Christians, and that is to work, to serve. All of us are servants. Members, saints, brethren, we've obeyed the gospel. We've joined a local congregation and recognized as part of that congregation, and we all serve. We serve each other. We sing together. We pray together. We study together. We share and help each other. We worship together. We encourage one another. We show hospitality to one another. And I'm going to talk some more about this next week. That's going to be my next sermon. About really what it is that we're... Why are we here? You know, what is the church really here for? And it's really all of those things. But I'll conclude here by saying that Christ has provided wonderful gifts to His church. Each one has its function we should gladly receive and use these gifts. And we should each of us be the Lord's gift to the church. Think about that. You think about the church as being something that you receive. Oh, I go to church because I get something out of it. I go to, you know, and maybe I don't get something out of it. Or maybe I wish I got more out of it. Or something like that. We think about that only in terms of what it is for me. Well, the church is for you. But it's also you being there for everybody else. And that's part of how you grow as a Christian. It's perhaps the biggest part of how you grow as a Christian is not what others do for you. That's the equipping. Equipping's good. Equipping's necessary. But you know how the mechanic and the fireman and the doctor and... You know how they get good at what they do? It's not the equipping. It's all of that's necessary. You do it. You do the job, and when you do the job, you grow. You get better and stronger. And it's kind of a feedback loop, you know. Here we are helping each other, sharing and encouraging and teaching each other, and you're getting better. And when you get better, you teach and encourage, and you know, and you it's reciprocal, you know. And it's this beautiful, wonderful body of people in this local community who are taking the Word of God delivered through the apostles and prophets and teaching it and thinking about it and trying to understand it better and then applying it to our lives and helping each other get stronger and stronger as Christians. That is what a local church is. And I don't say that it does it well. It certainly doesn't do it perfectly. But that is what it is. And that is what we're striving to do in this place. And if you would like to be part of that, then obey the gospel. Declare your faith in Jesus. Be baptized into Christ. Become part of His church. And join us in doing these things that we've been talking about. Receive the gifts that Christ has given to you and be a gift to others as well. And if you want to do that this morning, come forward and say that you will as we stand and sing.